Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca. All right, folks, let's break down a hockey game. Welcome to Got Your Back, live post-game edition. We're streaming live on Twitter and on YouTube tonight. Thanks for joining us. If you're listening in podcast form the next day, hope you're having a great morning. Oilers, with a fantastic third period, they blow the doors open on the Buffalo Sabres, and we're going to dig into all the details. Rob Brown and Jason Strudwick are both standing by, getting ready to dig into things. We're coming at you, as always, from our Long Shot studio here in Sherwood Park. All game days, all day happy hour specials. Can't beat that. $5 Long Shots Lager at Long Shots. And as always, our show is brought to you by our fabulous title sponsor, Sherwood Buick GMC. Since 2018, they have been named the number one volume GMC dealership in Canada. This month, they're trying to sell 400 cars. Seems crazy, but they're tracking. So the reason they're tracking is because they're doing deals, right? So if you are even considering getting a vehicle right now, they're absolutely the place that you have to go. 10 Auto Mall Road, online, www.gmcpod.com. They're working every single deal this month to hit that goal, because every once in a while, Phil gets a little squirrely, a little kind of squirrely ideas. Guys, you met Phil the other night. Last night you met him. He seems like a pretty calm guy, but he gets some harebrained ideas, Strutty. 400 cars that's a kind of a harebrained idea in the car world.
Yeah, that's a lot of keys changing hands, but I love it. Go for it. Go for 450.
Hey, Brownie, I was listening to the show on the way in. You and Reed Wilkins always doing a wonderful job breaking things down post-game. I love the guy that called in and said he loved you on the podcast with you after the show. I was laughing at that one, buddy.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that the Oilers appreciated that you guys are getting here. We are getting plugs on their program. Yes, that was very nice of Tony to mention that. So Tony, probably listening to this right now. Thanks a lot, Tony.
Thanks a lot, Tony. And Brownie, I mean, in fairness, we certainly give you enough plugs, you and Reed, on 630. I mean, it's almost a nightly thing we talk about with that.
Oh, 100%. We're all friends. We're all doing the same thing, talking about the Oilers, cheering for the Oilers, and helping the fans understand what's going right and sometimes what's going wrong with them.
That was an interesting night, man. That opening 20 was kind of like, oh, man, what's going on here? And then they kind of they self-corrected. And then that third period was something else. So we might as well just dig right into it, guys. Let's get to our breakdown brought to you by Mr. Dirk. I was in there today because they've got some of my favorite stuff. Yope is the brand. Just really nice suits, right? So if you want to kind of elevate your wardrobe a little bit for work, they've got all sorts of different brands. It's high quality stuff. It looks great. I love the customer service when you go in there. Sterling, Dan, the crew there, they take good care of you. You know, they take their time, help you find stuff. They can even help Strutty find stuff that looks half decent and is somewhat color coordinated. So just really good customer service. I think that's a really important thing when you're looking to spend some money on clothes, whether it's casual or business. That's Mr. Dirk, just off White Avenue and 102nd Street. Check out all they have to offer at MrDirk.com. Okay, Struds, where do you want to start with this? There was some interesting stuff that we found out post-game. And maybe that's where I'll go with it first. But Mattias Ekholm made mention of the fact that they were not happy with the way things were going after 20 minutes. And so they chatted about it as a group, didn't give us a lot of details about what was said. And they changed course. They corrected course, better in the second. And then they blow the doors off in the third. But, you know, some stuff not to like early. But that autocorrect, you got to like that feature on a team that can do that.
There's no doubt about it. And, you know, I think recognizing it and having the ability to change course or to up your skating, your intensity, I think that's really important. But Ekholm also made mention the fact that that's not going to work in the playoffs. You know, that's not going to work, game five against, let's call Vancouver. Like, that's not right. So, you know, their game isn't complete. You want to come out and you want to assert yourself and on the other team and impose your will on the other team. And they just didn't do it tonight. And Buffalo, you know, they're a team trying to trend in the right direction, but they're a long ways away from any, I think, the top five teams in the West, Brownie.
I agree. I think what you like about the Oilers is they find ways to win. And in a game tonight, you said that Ekholm talked didn't like his first. I don't know if the Buffalo Sabres would have liked their first 40 minutes either. Very, very loose. There's a lot of chances going both ways. And we talked in our show between periods that whichever team decided to play defense in the third period was going to win the game. And the Oilers did. They elevated their game defensively. And they gave up five shots. The Sabres continued to turn the puck over, give up odd man breaks. And that's the difference between a good team that finds ways to win like the Oilers and a team like the Sabres that at the end of the night, well, we played well for 40. Yeah, but when push came to shove, the Oilers had another gear. And they had another gear where they realized, we are not going to win this outscoring our mistakes. Let's just stop making mistakes. And they did that. So they do need to correct it. You're not going to get away with it against Vancouver or LA or Vegas or Colorado. But we have seen over the last 25, 30 games that the Oilers have the ability with a B effort to still win hockey games. And I think through the first 40 minutes, that was a B effort. The third period was an A+.
Yeah, they really upgraded their game in the third period. There's no question. Kind of started at the end of the second. Chris Knobloch tweaks the lines a little bit, and he puts the big guys together. That's a monster of a goal that kind of gets them rocking and rolling. Struds, I, McDavid, crazy stat, didn't have a single shot attempt, but he ends up with 4 points. And a couple of those plays that he made were just spectacular, just such high-end skill plays. Like the think about the play off the wall, think about the one out of the corner, jumping the D-man and getting the puck as it was rimmed around. Like this wasn't an A night for McDavid, but his stats line is off the charts.
Yeah, you named a bunch of good opportunities that he created by the way he played, but my favorite one was Hyman's that went in off his glove, where he gets it. And, you know, most players would shoot that at the net when he gets it there. Instead, he taps it back to the D-man, who then hammers it there. And that's a hard play. It was kind of awkward. You know, most guys would fall down or whatever. He just made it look so easy. And it was the right play, 100% what he did. But of all the plays you're talking about and the ones he specifically contributed to assists, Brownie, that was my favorite one, especially when he's feeding the D-man. Got to feed the big guys on the backside. Yeah.
That was a smart play. To me, my favorite was the Hyman other goal, is where you rarely see when Connor and Leon are together where they dump the puck. But Leon didn't see anything in an odd man break type situation, so he just rimmed it as hard as he can. Cousins won the race to the puck. He did the hard part where he skated faster than Connor, got there, and McDavid just bided his time, wait, lipstick, comes out, gets the puck, and now he's got Hyman coming down the slot. It's just another weapon that the Oilers have. They don't have to beat you with speed down the side or these cross-ice passes. They can dump and chase and turn it into a grade-A scoring chance within seconds, and that was just Connor McDavid winning a board battle and setting up Hyman for a really pretty goal.
Let's get to the Weiss Johnson soundbox and hear from the captain until April 30th. You get $200 off installation of a Fantech Hero HS300 HEPA filtration system. HEPA filters play a key role in removing various airborne particles, including dust, pollen, mold, spores, and bacteria. Something to pay attention to. Check out Weiss-Johnson.com for more details. Weiss Johnson, Weiss Johnson. Zuby, play me McDavid kind of summarizing their night to not loving their game overall and feeling like there's definitely lots of room.
Yeah, we're finding ways to get wins. I would still like to see a little bit more control of games. I still think we're finding our game. Obviously, it's nice that we're winning and producing wins, but I still think that there's more there. There's more to be had. There's more urgency. Which is a good thing. I think it's that time of year where we need to ramp up, get ready to go. We're still playing for, you know, positioning and all that, so still lots to be playing for.
You're on mute there, Shoggy, bud.
And you have to put the closed captioning on.
Sorry about that. I didn't want you to listen to me slurping while I was taking a drink while he was talking there. what I said was that's what you want to hear from Connor McDavid after a game like that, Struds. That means they got their eye on the big picture here. And to your point, like, it's a B game tonight, if that. But when you can come away with 2 points, two games in a row, they've come away with 2 points where they did not love their game, Streddy.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if that's actually good. Where you do get the 2 points and you haven't played your best game, especially against, you know, just weak teams. I think that it's, you know, do you really learn your lesson? You know, do any of us learn our lesson if we're trying to lose 10 pounds and we just keep pounding chips at night? You know, do you really learn your lesson at all? Like, you kind of got to change.
That's how guilty you feel.
Well, yeah. And listen, we all love chips. But, and again, I'm not, you know, I just feel that if you truly want to learn a lesson, sometimes you got to just get kicked right in the teeth. And, you know, I wonder if a loss against one of these last two teams might not have been that shot. Now, there's lots of time to turn it around. And I'm not ringing the 5-alarm bell here, Brownie, but I just think when you cheat, well, not cheap, but when you don't bring your best and you still get the 2 points, do you truly embrace the idea of what's required to maybe get your game to the next level?
You know, that's a good point. It's one of those when you played, it's like, you know what, that we need a wake-up call. That loss tonight was a wake-up call. And a wake-up call doesn't happen in a win as much. What you have to find out in a win is like, well, you know what, we weren't there for the first 30 minutes, but we got the ability to turn it on. And sometimes that masks, it might mask warts in your game because you came back against a bad Montreal team. Or you came back against a Buffalo team that's about to miss the playoffs for the 13th straight year. And it goes to what you talked about. Vegas or LA or Vancouver, those are teams that, well, go back to the beginning of the year. The Oilers fell asleep early in a game against Vancouver and they scored 8. So the better teams, when they have their stretches where you're playing poor, they're playing well, instead of 2-0, they'll be up 3. Instead of in the second period, they let you back in it, they extend it. So, yeah, I think there's confidence built that they know they can come back in hockey games, but sometimes it's a false confidence when it's certain teams. I mean, let's be honest, the game in Boston where they came back and won it 2-1, that wasn't a win if Nugent Hopkins doesn't back check. That's a 2-0 win for the Boston Bruins. So sure. They've had some fortunate bounces during this break. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. Sometimes kicking the teeth and a loss wakes you up a little bit more because you don't feel as good the next morning as the Oilers will feel today.
Yeah, and so just sorry to jump in, Shocker, but you look at their next opponent, the Maple Leafs. So the Maple Leafs beat the Capitals, I think, 7-4, and the Oilers, whatever tonight was, 8-3. So, you know, the Leafs are doing pretty well. I mean, they seem to have a new frown at first line. Right now with Marner, we're not sure where he's at. But, you know, for the Oilers, are they going in there desperate? Like, they want to win that game. A lot of guys are going to play at home. And so that might up their urgency from, you know, minute one. But I'm really interested to see how they react for that game on Saturday. Because then they go in Sunday against Ottawa. You know, they can easily, not easily, but, you know, if they could win Saturday, you're probably going to win Sunday. Now you get a little streak going. But they could also lay an egg on Saturday if they're not ready to go right away. Because, you know, the Leafs will be pumped.
100%. There's a great question on the stream here from Mike Smith. I want to get to it. Struds and Brownie, season is 82 games. Break it down. A Stanley Cup contending team will have X amount of A games, Y amount of B games, etc., C, D, and F. So give us a breakdown, Brownie. Like, Stanley Cup contending team, you can just say good, middle of the way, and bad if you want. How many? What's the ratio?
I would say 75% of the time they'll bring their A game, and then 10%. Oh, no, that's probably too much. I'd say 60% A, maybe 20% B, that gets you up to 80, maybe 10% C and 10% F. I mean, we've taken calls on all of our shows and on the text lines and stuff like that. No team plays their best for 82 games. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. That's why the playoffs are so awesome, because the intensity goes up, the emotion. Good teams, great teams, win with their B game, win with their C game. But I think for most part, if you have your A game 60% of the time during the regular season, you've had a pretty successful year.
You're going to need to put that in a flow chart, because I have no idea. What is it? There's an F in there. I'm not. Did you fail? Did I fail? Who failed it, Brownie?
Definitely. There's no 60. I went 60, 20, 10, and 10. 68, 20B, 10C, and 10F.
I think at one point you had a 13 in there. I honestly, I'm not sure.
I did not have a 13.
All right, I must have misheard. So anyways, I think you're on the right path, and I'm just giving you a hard time. But when I look at it, I always felt that 10% of your games you're going to win no matter what, because the other team was terrible or you were rolling. Then the other 10% of your games, you're going to lose them. You know, bad travel, injuries, whatever. You just don't show up, whatever happens. So then that leaves 80%, kind of that middle. And so you're looking at, you know, how many of those games can you find a way to win and just be strong, do your thing, and be just do the right thing, you know, shift in, shift out. And that's hard. Like keeping that level of playing the team game, doing the right thing every shift, like just not to beat up on Buffalo, but I mean, how many times do we see those guys just not quite get the puck out or not quite make it back on a back check? Or you mentioned McDavid jumping in front of Cousins, like not making sure, like all those little details, right? Are just like, it just doesn't quite get it done. So, you know, I don't know. I think it's, you're never going to bring it perfectly for 100%, but I would say, you know, you're bringing it, you know, you got to bring that 60, 65% of the time, I think is your A game. Cause then you take out those other 10. So now we're down to 20% left. You know, and those are kind of maybe your B or C game.
Obelisk 21 says, if the Oilers came out flat against a good team, I would be more worried. Not a bad point there.
Yeah.
Struts, what do you want to talk about next? Get started. Evander Kane. I'm trying to figure out what's next.
Where Let's talk going? Evander Kane.
Do it, buddy. Bring it.
So, you know, this guy gets a lot of press. I think both good and bad as far as way he's playing. I thought tonight he's really buzzing. He was working out there physical early. He had, you know, quite a few chances. One sequence, he had two chances right in front. And I could tell, everyone could tell he was disappointed in score. But I thought he was working. I thought he was a big contributor on Darnell Nurse's goal. That line was working hard. And what I love is that he's going to the net. And I just know, again, from defending, I hated when guys just repeatedly came to the net. So I don't know what you two think of, but I thought he was, I don't even think he got a point tonight. I might be wrong on that, guys, but I sure love the way that he played today. For a guy that takes, you know, heat both ways, I think he was great, Brownie.
You know, it's funny. I think on both two-on-one goals, Kane was the other guy. I think on the McLeod goal, I thought he was the other guy. And I think on the Ekholm one.
Right.
But that's him Ekholm, being in the right place. Driving the net. The one thing that Kane brings is, and nobody is intimidated in the NHL about fighting anymore. It just because you don't have to fight. Nobody's really intimidated about a Scott Stevens or a Brian Marchment or a Samuelson hit through the middle of the ice. Very rarely do you see that anymore. But where Evander Kane has some intimidation is on a forecheck. If you watch over the course of a game, how many times a defenseman will throw the puck away a little earlier than he wants because he sees Kane coming with speed. Because he wants to jump out of the way. Now, Kane doesn't always land the hit because the defenseman will have jumped out of the way. But while he's jumping out of the way, he's made a bad pass that's created a turnover and kept the play alive in the offensive zone. And I saw that two or three times tonight where just Kane's presence with speed on a forecheck forces a defenseman to make a play he doesn't want to make because he does not want to get run over. So to me, yeah, I agree. I thought Kane played well tonight. Didn't create anything offensively, but created momentum and created chances. And they need that out of him. That's what they need out of Evander Kane come playoff time, is just that intimidation that he has on a forecheck.
He's been emotionally engaged the last couple of games. So last game he was pissed at the refs because he didn't get a couple of calls and he was chirping at them and he was mad. And then similar tonight, he was playing with a little bit of frustration in his game tonight. And I think some of that was officiating. He gave him a couple of kind of looks at them like, what the heck? But here's the thing. He's not taking dumb penalties out of that frustration. And he's taking it out on the other guys, Struts. He might be mad at the refs, but he's taking it out on the other guys. He's playing emotionally engaged right now. And wherever that's coming from, it's a good thing.
Well, that's when he's at his best. I think you need to see him talking, chirping, you know, whacking guys. And I don't think the odd penalty from him is a bad thing. I think that for him to be effective, you have to accept some penalties. Now, the timing of those penalties, makes a difference, you know, in a 2-2 game with 5 minutes left, that's probably not the time you want him taking a penalty he can do without. But I think he's rounding his game into the right place. You know, tonight we saw a lot of different line combinations for various reasons, but I really think that he's priming himself for the, what do they got, 15 games left? No, 16, whatever it is. He's priming himself for this next stretch of games. And I'm liking what I'm seeing, especially recently.
And I've been saying, guys, the matrix in the playoffs involves Evander Kane in the top six. I know it's been bumpy all season long, but I've been consistent with that. For this team to go anywhere, Evander Kane needs to be playing well, and he needs to be playing on the top two lines with one of either Connor or McDavid or Draisaitl. And we're seeing Chris Knobloch starting to trend things in that direction. And I would expect Kane to get a prolonged look here in the top six, because that's where he needs to be. I let Struds pick the last topic, Brownie. Why don't you pick the next one? Where do you want to go next?
Well, how about lines for the playoffs? Because right now, I don't see Kane playing with Connor or Leon, because I think Connor and Leon are going to be playing together. I think what we've seen in this last little stretch, when things are going sideways, and the Oilers have their B or C efforts early, they go right away to Connor and Leon and Hyman. And all of a sudden, the game changes. We saw that in the second period tonight, and certainly the whole third period. So I think what we're seeing right now, that the Oilers, when they're at their best right now, is when Connor and Leon are playing together with Hyman.
But Brownie,
there's no other team. Yep.
Brownie, just let me present this to you. I think because they're trying to force McLeod and Fogle onto Leon's line, McDavid and Draisaitl are landing together more often than they should. I think if Evander Kane and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins are both in the top six, and only Warren Fogle is also in the top six, I think there's more of a chance that the top two lines can work. It's because they're trying to have those other two guys in there. A lot of times, 29 and 97 are ending up together.
You're right, and I think the second line is going to be Nugent-Hopkins at center with Kane and Fogle. That's what I believe is going
to
start.
Don't you think if they start the other way, they won't have to? Like if they go Nugent, Hopkins, Draisaitl, and Fogle, or you know what I'm saying?
Well, if they had belief in that, then they'd be doing that right now. I mean, if that's where you're going to go for the playoffs with what the line you just said, why are they not doing that now? Why, whenever things go sideways, are they going to Connor and Leon? If you think that that's good enough, Connor or with having Leon playing with Nugent Hopkins and Fogle and Kane with McDavid and Hyman, why would you not be doing that right now to prepare for the playoffs? Or do you feel right now our best way to win hockey games is with Leon and Connor together? Now, I believe, and we see it all the time, the lines change all the time. But what we have found in the long stretch here now, that when the Oilers need to change the way the game is going, Connor and Leon are together. So I'm saying here, I believe they'll start the playoffs together, and Nugent Hopkins and Kane will be on the second line, probably with Fogle.
Do you think, though, that let's say you play the Kings in the first round. You load up the line.
Yep.
Now let's say you play Canucks. Do you keep them together, or do you split them up?
Well, I think as you go along in the playoffs, you'll see how things are going. I mean, it's trending strongly that it'll be LA in the first round. And I think that they feel, with Connor and Leon together, that nobody in the league can slow that line down. I understand what you guys, what Shaggy's saying with moving the lines. Here's what we're going to do for the playoffs, but the playoffs are 14 games away, and we haven't seen Connor and Leon split up much, other than Leon with Fogle and McLeod. So if you're going to go with a different line Leon's playing with Nugent, Leon's playing with Kane, when are you going to put that together? You're going to just do it on the last game of the season or first game of the playoffs? I just feel that right now that they really like Connor and Leon to playing together, and that'll be the line to start the series.
I think he likes breaking the glass in an emergency. I don't think he likes starting with it. I don't think he likes going with it regularly. I don't think he likes practicing in it. The problem, if you play them together, Brownie, and it's not going well, now what? It's a break glass.
No, I understand all of that, Shoggy. But I understand all that. Then why are you putting Leon with McLeod and Fogle?
Yeah, well, I think that Leon should be with Nugent Hopkins and Fogle or something different.
I understand. No, I completely understand that. But why are they playing together? If you think that Leon's going to play with Nuge or with Kane, why is it continually those three starting and then Leon and Connor together? So I agree that the other lines work better, and I think that Leon and Connor apart would be great. But to me right now, they're not trying Leon with Nuge. They're not putting Leon with Kane. At what point do you do that? If that's where you're going to go in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're trying to give this time to see if they can work, right? And see if that McLeod and Fogle with Leon Draisaitl can be enough. I think they're giving it time to see. But I think when the rubber hits the road and it's time, Estrada, I don't think there's going to be enough in that line. And not that they were bad tonight. I thought that they were decent when they were together. And by the way, the Nugent Hopkins line was pretty darn good tonight too. But I don't think that McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins all on second lines works for the wingers they have on this team. I think they all need to be compacted into the top two lines, Struds.
Yeah, and I hear you. I understand what you're saying. I believe they'll start the lines separate. I really do believe that.
I do too.
I tend to go with Shauger more than Brownie. I think that when they need, they'll put it together, and then they'll take it apart too, because it is just such a massive line when those guys are rolling out there. But I do think that loading it up creates like not the strongest second line, right? It looks a lot different. And so, and that's no disrespect to the guys on that line, but I just like it. I think it gives Mitch Matt some mismatches too for the group. So I, especially against the Kings, I think you start separate.
Last word to you, Brownie.
Well, I completely understand those things, but I'm just saying if that's what they're thinking, they're going to start separate, then why, and you think Kane or Nugent Hopkins will be in the top six, then yeah. why are they going with Connor, or why are they going with Leon, Fogle, and McLeod? See, that's my whole thing. And you say that they're trying to get something out of it, but they're trying to get something out of it for 20 minutes, and then the second period they go back to Connor and Leon.
Let me just, I wonder if they're not trying to get that line going for a specific matchup in the playoffs.
Yeah, could be. Could well be, but it's an easy flip-flop. Like, I think they're trying to give it time and they're hoping, but I guess I'm kind of prognosticating too as much as anything, Brownie. You said playoff lines. I don't think this is the Matrix heading into the playoffs. I don't think this is the setup. I think 93 and 71 will be flipped when playoff time comes. And I believe that Ryan Nugent-Hopkins is way too good a player to be working third line minutes around at playoff time. So I think
100%.
Yeah. And I think that will happen.
That's why I had Nugent-Hopkins. I had Nugent-Hopkins on my second line, but he would be in your top six 100%. Although, having said all of that, that was their best line tonight.
Yeah, Nugent-Hopkins
and Perry. They were very good the entire game. They were fantastic. I thought Corey Perry had an excellent hockey game today.
What a surprise. Henrik's line.
Hey, Struggy. Every little victory this guy has, you're just gonna.
I thought he tipped that one. I thought he tapped Nurse Goals. He's just about to do a celebration tweet.
Well, wait till we hear Struddy's World tonight. I have a feeling it might be centered around Struddy's boy. Time for our You Can You Services Relentless Player of the Night, guys. What a night last night. It was the final of six comedy nights that You Can puts on in loving memory of our dear friend Kyle Dubé, who passed away a couple of weeks ago. And the event last night, it was a blast. Struds, you did a great job hosting. The headliner was off the charts. Like, Struddy, that was fun last night for a great cause.
It was a lot of fun, and I appreciate you saying that nicely. I really dropped the ball early on that job. I was so rattled. Yeah. It was a tough – the first stretch, I was really rattled, and then it calmed down. But
there he is. Look at him up there. Struddy. Yeah. Now, what was the joke you did? You had a joke. My arms are so tired.
You know, you probably heard before, like, oh, man, I just flew in today. Man, am I tired. I don't know what I said. I ruined it. It's such a bad joke. That's what I think makes it funny. Oh, I dropped the ball.
Went up there with the idea of telling a bad joke to open with, and then you got it wrong.
I did. It was a disaster. I got off the stage. I was so happy. Like, thank God.
Tight jeans made up for it. Hey, Brownie, those were some tight jeans.
What a mess.
He was eye candy. Nobody was listening to you, Strud. You were eye candy. That's all you were yesterday, and the girls were happy.
It was hilarious. So the guys were funny. Graham Neal and Donovan Walker.
Donovan Walker. Those two guys. Oh my God.
We're so, so funny. Funny. And I've known those guys for a long time. They're hilarious. If you ever have a chance to meet those guys, they're just two absolutely hilarious guys.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing night. By the way, Zuby was inspired by your stand-up, Strutty, so he got a little bit creative with the Photoshop here. There you see, Strudwick, what's the deal with cashews, Alice Seinfeld? You missed your calling, Struds.
Yeah.
Stand-up, buddy.
Oh, I loved it. I do enjoy it. It was fun up there, but I was rattled. I dropped the ball early. So, yeah, the rest of the group picked it up. But anyways. Yeah,
100%. Okay, and before we wrap up, really quick, I just wanted to say for the people at UCAN to have endured everything that they've been through this last couple of weeks and for them to be able to pull it together, people need to understand this event, like Kyle was so involved in this event, that for them to try and pull the details together and still pull it off on short notice with the emotion that they were dealing with, it truly is amazing what they were able to do. I think they set a goal around the $420,000 range, $500,000 this year's event raised for an amazing local charity. Like the fact that they got to $500,000, Kyle is just smiling down on everybody that was involved. So just so proud of the whole group over there.
It was awesome. Relentless player, I think it's his first time. We got a first timer here.
Okay, I like it.
Matthias Ekholm, this guy looked like he was shot out of a cannon tonight. And you know, really since he's come back from his sickness. Five shots, two goals, just two great shots too. An assist. I thought he was, if not the best, one of the best players on the ice tonight, guys.
I agree. He was fantastic. You know what I love about Ekholm? Ekholm's supposed to be an anchor, supposed to be the defensive conscience of his pairing. yet he's leading the rush. He's jumping up in the play. And for a defensive defenseman, supposed, he's got a shot. He's got his favorite spot. Like most defensive defensemen, they just put their head down and shoot. He's going top glove every chance he gets with that bomb of a slap shot. So I just love that. He was fantastic in this hockey game. I love when he talked about it too. He said being sick, he missed the game and it turned into 5 days of rest for his body and he feels like a new guy.
Yeah, he was really that dangle. Like that's not a dangle you see. No offense, Struds. You don't see D-men with that little back deke angle like snipe. That was more skill forward type stuff.
It's great. It's a great play. I couldn't believe it. I had a double look just to make sure I got the right number on that one because that feels more like a 93 or a 29, not a 14.
Yeah. All right. That was.
Yeah, but you know what?
Go, Brandon.
You know what, Shoggy, about that quickly is this is the difference between when Struds and I played and nowadays, the skill level of players. When we played, the defensive defenseman could not do that. But now the defensive defenseman, guys like that are capable of doing that. The skill level is so much higher now that a guy like Ekholm, who's supposed to be, again, the defensive guy in his pairing, comes down and toe drags a defenseman and goes up over the glove. Fantastic play, but the skill level nowadays is through the roof.
Well said. All right, good stuff. That was the UCAN U Services Relentless Player of the Night. We went super long with our breakdown tonight. Brownie, you still got time to hang in. We'll talk. You know what? A couple quick Oiler items and takeaways, but I want to talk some torts too. You still got a few minutes, Brownie?
Absolutely. I'm just hanging out in my driveway.
Okay, quick break. We'll be right back. The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen. All right, time now for our takeaways brought to you by Redefined Health. If you're feeling unhappy with your overall level of health, you got to try their wellness lifestyle program. It's a really unique 90-day program, including daily meal plan, exercise regimen, video instruction, and support. Pre and post assessments to help you monitor your progress. You get all of that for $150. Great little starter for you. If you're in a bit of a rut, trying to get yourself going, what a great way to, you know, have some folks that know what they're doing, help you out, keep you accountable. Check it out at redefinedhealth.com. Go see Dr. Tyler Fix. We'll do some more Oiler stuff in a minute here, guys. But Brownie, before we let you go, because we've gone a little long here with you, I just wanted to get your take on what's happened with John Tortorella and Sean Couturier over the last couple of days. Healthy scratches him the other day. Couturier is not thrilled. Publicly says, maybe didn't feel like he was being treated the best. And Torts kind of refuses to talk about it in the media. Healthy scratches him again and then doesn't come out and do the post-game press conference. Sends his assistant coach out instead. This is like all that anybody's talking about out in Philadelphia. Brownie, what's your take on that mess, pal?
Well, first, I don't know how Couturier is playing. I haven't followed the Flyers very well, so I don't know
like
if
he's won in 15 games. And I think he's minus 14 in that time. Like, not good would be the answer, I would say.
Okay, so in that case, I can tell you as a player on the team, the message is sent a lot more to the group when it's a captain or someone that's higher up the food chain. Because I know Struds will be able to tell you, too, how many teams we've played on. Team struggles. So, all right, no, what we're going to do, we're going to sit out a fourth liner tonight, send the message. We're going to send the fourth line guy down to the minors. And the rest of the team's like, okay, well, that really hurt our feelings. Like, seriously, the guy that had nothing to do with the wins or losses is the guy that paid the price. But if you bench last year in Tampa, they benched their first line for a whole third period. This year in Vancouver, JT Miller got benched. That's if you want to send a message to your team, that's how you send a message. So I got no problem with them sitting out the captain. If he deserves it, sit him out. And if he goes public about it, sit him out again. I got no problem with that at all. As for Tortorella not talking in the media, I read an article about it. I guess they rotate. I guess the coach and the two assistants rotate through. So maybe it was Shaw's turn. But if I'm sitting in the dressing room, though, and that guy doesn't deserve to play, I don't care what his name is. I got no problem with them sitting their captain out.
Yeah, I would disagree. I actually think that they're handling it the wrong way. He hasn't played well. There's no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, that's your captain. And I think that's got to be handled differently than a regular player. I really do. I think that Couturier has 6 years left or 5 or 6 years left of the no movement clause. And Tortorella, it doesn't compromise. I get it. He has never compromised. And I get that. But there's a fight brewing here between the captain and the coach. So at the end of the day, you know, the guy who wins is always a player, especially when you have no movement clause. So I just have a hard time envisioning this ending well for anyone in the organization. I think everyone would have to walk around on eggshell, especially do it twice. Boom.
They're in a playoff position, by the way. It's not like the season's lost and this is infighting. They're in a playoff position. So,
well,
him scratching
the two games, Shoggy, yep, that they benched them, they got 3 out of 4 points. They beat the Leafs and then lost to Carolina to overtime. So the team responded well.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, team responded well and good on them. Is that because John Tortorella benched the captain? I don't know. I tend to lean a little bit more here with Struds. Word out of Philadelphia is there just hasn't been much communication. I think Couturier had said that you never really talked to him about it. There hasn't been a lot of dialogue. That it's, you know, his agent came out and expressed some frustration about the way he had been treated as well. They named this guy captain, 3 months ago or something like this? And Tortorella would be the guy picking that, right? So you just name him captain and then you sit him. I would think behind the scenes, there would have to be multiple conversations where it's like, Sean, this is the direction this is heading in. And I'm not going to hesitate to do this if I have to. That's the kind of coach I've always been. I don't want to, but you're giving me no choice here, right? Some communication, some heads up, some explanation, some extra. But it sounds like there really wasn't much. Brownie, it just happened.
Yeah, I see. I don't know nothing about that. I'm talking strictly about him sitting out. There obviously has to be communication. He's a leader of your team. And there should always be communication between all players. And I've said this before, if you're going to sit me out, I got set out by Sutter or Keenan, sit me out, but be honest with me. Why am I sitting out? Because I can't get better and fix what's wrong until you tell me what I need to fix. So I 100% there's got to be communication. As for sitting him out, I got no problem at all with that. But you're right. You have to have communication with him. because you do not want to have a divide in your dressing room. Now, the team has responded well, so this actually looks good for Tortorella because they hadn't been playing well. Kucherov is a great player, and the Philadelphia Flyers, if they want to be a playoff team and actually win a game in the playoffs, they need a good Sean Couturier. So that's something that you want to mend. But I don't always trust everything that I read. I would hope that there was some communication behind the scenes that we just haven't heard about.
You know, not wanting to talk about it after the first healthy scratch, sure. Like, he just came out and said, I'm not answering questions about it, and ducked a bunch and wouldn't talk about it. Okay, I guess you don't want to chastise your player publicly, and really that's what you're in position to do, but you've healthy scratched your captain. The media's got a job to do. So he shuts him down for the first night. I guess I sort of get that. To healthy scratch your captain two games in a row and then not come and do media is about as soft as it gets. That to me is unreal, that you would scratch your captain two games in a row and then not come out to at least address it. You don't bother doing media at all. And I know Torts and the media, it's a long-standing, difficult relationship. Personally, I don't love the way he handles it. I think he treats people poorly. I think he bullies people around in the scrums, and I think he treats people poorly. I think he's unnecessarily gruff and shitty with people. But whatever, be like that if you want. When he gets let go, the media is one of the first calls he makes to try and get himself on TV to get back into it. I don't like the way this guy's handled his media. Frankly, I never have. To me, this is really soft, though. This is next level.
No, yeah, I agree with that. Well, yeah. The thing is, it becomes a bigger story when he doesn't talk. If he come out and explain, here's why I sat him, here's what we're looking for, and I want to get him back in the lineup soon, the story dies. He's allowing the story to get bigger by not talking. You're 100% right on that, Ryan.
I actually say that his problem isn't with the media. His problem is with his captain. And I think that's a huge problem. Yep. Honestly, I'm telling you, I would love to hear, well, they've probably had a meeting, but Briere and Couturier talking, whether it's, you know, at the end of the year, or maybe they've had a meeting during that time. You're sitting your captain who has six more years on his deal. Like, I'm telling you, man, that's and a no movement clause, not to mention. So, yeah, it is. And once it, I don't know. I'm sure I don't know Couturier at all, but you can only take so much. Now, he hasn't played well. I get that. But you're the captain of the team. How many other captains have we seen sat out in the last 5 years? I can't think of too many.
Last question here, and then we'll let you go, Brownie. Back to the orders real quick. And Struds, I'm going to start with you on this. You guys know what I've been saying the last few podcasts. The window is kind of slowly cracking open here for Troy Stetcher. I think tonight was another solid performance from him. If I were the coaching staff, I would be pleased with what I've seen so far and interested to see more. I thought that there were other defensemen that struggled at times. I thought CeCe, you know, had a bit of a tough go a few times and maybe hasn't been at his highest level here. I think the window continues to crack open. Struds, is he going to create a conversation? Is the rope going to be shorter on the other two guys if he continues to take steps like this?
I thought he did look good. He moves really quick, and he's quick back to pucks and make quick plays. You know, that's a dream for a coach. I think that he won't start. Like, let's say the playoffs start tomorrow. I believe he'd be in the stands watching.
I agree with that.
Option, if there's an option to bring him if you want a different look. But I think that the six, when healthy, would be the six originals, you know, that have been here all year, would be the six starting game one, Brownie.
I agree. I think he's the seventh defenseman. And if a right-handed defenseman gets hurt, gets ill, or has a really, really off night, he would go in. Again, we watched him play against Buffalo and Montreal, not good hockey clubs, not big physical hockey clubs either. The LA Kings are a big physical team. He's a small-statured player. He is noticeable. He does move his feet. They don't stop moving the whole time. I think all three acquisitions at the deadline have shown what they're capable of doing, and the team is happy with it. But right now, I don't think he's surpassed any of the six defensemen ahead of him. But he has played well, and I think he's exactly what the Oilers expected him to be.
Yeah, and I think CeCe and Kulak, I don't think have been a great look. I think they've, they've struggled at times, and I think it's interesting. I think he looks decent next to Nurse. I think Darnell Nurse, by the way, looked pretty good too. So
he was fantastic.
Yeah, really good, like physical and jumping up and, man, some skill plays and such. So there's a little something brewing here, and it's a good thing for the team. It's a good thing that there's internal competition and that Troy Stetcher is, I believe, working himself into a conversation. But I agree with you guys, the main six, if it were to start tomorrow, would be the main six. But I think the leash might be a lot shorter for the other guys with the way Stetcher has played. And with each good performance, he reels in a little bit of that leash, how much margin for error those other guys have. And that is a good thing. Brownie, thanks, buddy. Much appreciated.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
All right. Talk to you soon. That is Rob Brown. And once again, his appearances on the podcast brought to you by Kin Print, high-quality apparel, promotional products to take your brand to the next level. Visit kinprint.ca. When we come back, Struds and I gonna take a lap, ask us anything in Struddy's world.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximum Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
Longshots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca. Time to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet, and they've gotten even better with their 2.0 version. New friction fit handle lets you effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body as well. The new titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Use the promo code GYB10 and you'll get a deal when you buy online at backscape.com. That's BAKscape.com, promo code GYB10. Struds, let's go south to Calgary.
Yeah, Calgary, Dan Vladar is out. He has to get a surgery. He's out for the rest of the season. It sounds like he'll have lots of time. He gets it done now to be ready for next season. But that means old Dustin Wolf, who's brought up on an emergency recall, will be up here. Now, there's a lot of moving parts here. Markstrom, we know there's maybe a trade. There wasn't a trade. He wasn't happy with what happened. Do you want to risk injury? So how much is he going to play? Ryan Husk has said that both will play. But, there are 8 points, I think 8 points out of the playoffs. It's quite a bit. Still chance, I know, but, chance and reality aren't always the same thing. But, Dustin Wolf, everyone's got their opinion on him. There's some that say he's too small frame to be a starting goalie. Others says he's been a stud in the NHL, so he can carry that to NHL. Let's find out. If I'm a Flames fan and if I'm a Flames player, let's find out. Get him in there. Let's play him up. See how it looks more regularly than just spot duty. So it's now Markstrom and Wolf. Next year it could be Wolf and Vladar when he comes back.
Well, and I find that interesting, right? Like I don't know exactly what the injury is for Vladar or kind of what the outlook is, but this makes sense that why have him play through anything right now? If you think he might be your guy next year, if you're potentially moving Markstrom, by shutting him down now, you get him extra time to, get the procedure done, lots of time to heal, lots of runway for camp. You tell him you come back as good as you've ever been. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, this young guy that the Flame fan out there has been clamoring for more opportunity for, because he's a good young prospect in the organization, now he'll get a little bit more of a look. So you know what you have with him. You know you're going to have a healthy Vladar heading into next season. Markstrom will get the bulk of the starts here. I think this made a lot of sense.
Yeah, it's. I think it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I want to see him play. Like, if I'm a Flames player and fan, I want to see him play, not spot duty, but regularly playing. This is the goalie night. So, you know, Jonathan Quick was traded from LA to Vegas last year, won a Stanley Cup, signed with the Rangers, and I felt he was done. Well, man, I was right about that one. He got another win tonight, and with that, he pulls into a first-place tie for the most wins by a goalie by a U.S.-born player. Both Ryan Miller and Jonathan Quick now have 391 wins, and Quick did a little bit faster, 777 games. Ryan Miller's at 796, but it's pretty clear that if this is his last year, and I'm not saying it is, but he'll be the undisputed U.S. born games winner for goalies. But I just Jonathan, I can't believe it, man. I can't believe what he's doing. And I don't know. I'd ask you, what's more impressive, what Quick's done or what Calvin Pickard's done? What's more surprising to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say that defying Father Time and turning the clock back is a different challenge than what Calvin Pickard is doing. Like, 38 years old to play that position at that high a level, and to go through what he's gone through, right? It's been some tough emotional stuff too for Quick, right? Wasn't thrilled with the way it ended, and but he's battled his way back and he's shown he's still got game. He's a unique guy. I have covered Jonathan Quick a ton over the years. One of the most subdued, quiet interviews ever. Can't stand doing media. Gives you like 2-3-word answers. Wants no part of it, right? Just a very, you know, has never liked that end of it. But really has rediscovered his game. Calvin Pickard, it's impressive because he hadn't played much in the league over the last few years. That's just an incredible story too. But I think turning back the clock's more impressive. What do you think?
I don't think Pickard's ever played this well in the NHL. So I think that's like the most surprising. And I you could, your case is well made about Quick. Like, I wrote the guy off. But the fact he's never played this well for this long, I think that to me earns the first star. But either way, Jonathan Quick has been a hell of a backup for the Rangers, and Calvin Pickard's been a hell of a one for the Oilers.
Obelisk 21 says, Pickard's more impressive. Quick is doing what he has been known to do. Pickard is playing the best stretch of hockey of his career. I think you guys won me over. You kind of put me on the spot asking me that question, and now after having listened to you guys, you did better than I did. Obelisk 21, Strud, you guys both win that one for sure. That was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape. Strud, he's going to take a little victory lap here because the player that he thought the Oilers needed to go get, well, he did something good. So Struds is going to dig into that coming up next in Struddy's World.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, I look good.
Time now for Strutty's World. Zuby, I was waiting for you to roll the music.
I was going to bring it in a little more subtle in the background.
Oh. Oh, I was waiting for the music out of the break. You said you were going to use the shipwreck music.
I am. This is it.
Oh, wow. Love it. Time now for Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. The Brindley family's been handcrafting their rum on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts for decades now. Their Shipwreck Vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, which gives it a fantastic smoothness. Had some the other day. It is good. Take one sip. You will agree. It truly is a vacation in a bottle, and hence our theme music. Get Shipwreck, fans, available at your local liquor retailer. As always, please enjoy responsibly. I love the steel drums. Strutty?
Yeah, I dipped my beak in the mango today in the second period. It's delicious. Absolutely delicious. So, yeah, Adam Henrique, listen, I have built him up, and I think he's starting to show people what he's all about. And there's a play in the second period. I think it was about 12 minutes left. The Oilers took a penalty. And, you know, what the Oilers do is they force down the wing. So if you're a winger or a forward, you kind of go up and prevent the D-man from getting to the middle, and you push him back down the wall. And Henrique did that, or I think it was Nuge actually did. And then Henrique kind of did it again, but he realized that that had left the middle of the ice open because Nuge is already over there. So he was shoulder checking the whole way, looking back and forth, trying to find where that pass is going, gets himself in the pass lane, picks the pass off, and then sends it down the ice. The problem with that is he makes it look too easy. It's really hard to watch the puck here and the person trying to get open in the middle, try to stay in that lane, keep your, you know, yourself in that position, also looking for other threats, and then knocking the pass down and shooting it down. Or I think he cleared it. Maybe he didn't shoot all the way down, but he cleared it. But that is what really smart players do. And they make something that is really hard, make it look easy. Now, that's not a high-skilled play. That's a high hockey IQ play. And when I talked about Henrique in the past, when I still see him play, that's what I see, a really high IQ hockey player out there. So I'm not sure if anyone watching saw that play, but it is just it's just such a good play, and it just calms everything down. Mm-hmm. That is why he's on the penalty kill now regularly. That's why he's taking those face-offs, and that's why the Oilers traded for him and Carrick.
Yeah, I love that point you made. Just subtle little things that are difficult, but that he makes look a little bit easier, that are, you know, there's a subtlety to his game. And I made the comment a few podcasts ago that Oiler fans might kind of have to brace themselves for the idea that it's not going to be as much about offense as maybe when he was in Anaheim playing with their most skilled players, that it might be a little bit more about the subtleties, the third line center role, defensive duties, those sorts of things. And I think it's still coming here for him. Like, it's still some of those parts of his game are still coming. But I do think that there are a lot of traits he's displaying that I think are going to come in real handy for the playoff struds. Like, we've seen the Oilers in these series without necessarily a great fit in that spot. And I do think they have a legit player in that spot now, that critical third line spot.
And I would agree with you. I don't think the offense is going to pour in like it has.
Yeah.
Well, he had 18 goals in Anaheim, but he's getting power play time too. So I'd have to double check. I don't know how many power play goals he got. It's probably not 18, but you get the point. But what he will do, I believe, is in a playoff series, he will score, right? He's going to find a way to contribute offensively. And it's deeper down your lineup, right? Into that third line position. So, you know, Oilers fans, watch him with an open mind and seeing what he's doing and how he's doing it, and generally in the right place. And it's such a skill to be in the right place. It just makes the game so much easier for you and your line mates.
So someone asked on the stream here and I lost it. I think it might be for Ask Us Anything, but I'll throw it at you since it's about Henrique. Like, the idea of a shutdown line with him and Nugent Hopkins on the same line. Right. I mean, I think that's kind of what he was looking to build there. You put those two together and you're really thinking that is two players who have some subtlety and some intelligence to their game, and they could be an excellent shutdown style line. How do you feel about that against another team? Maybe it's got a big, heavy, like a big line to try and find the right line against. Do you think that's 2/3 of a pretty good line?
Okay, well, let's talk about the line. I think the best line the Oilers will play in the playoffs will be, well, you hope they play in the playoffs.
McKinnon, Rantanen, and
Nichushkin. Yeah. Those guys are huge, and the wingers, for sure. The center is not a small man, but he just stinks of power. Like, everything he does is just full power, right? Like, so, you know, you have two smaller guys out there against them. I'm not saying it's impossible, but you know, you have two smaller guys out there, but they're smart. They're really smart. Might have to put a little bit someone heavier on the wing.
Yeah, they need some size there, man.
Yeah. But the idea I get. So would you rather have that, or would you rather have Leon Draisaitl matched up against McKinnon's line?
Yeah.
And then the wingers are maybe Nuge and Fogle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that. So that's you know, TBD, as they say in the business. But I understand where you're going with that. But that I don't think there's a better line in the NHL other than when the Oilers line up their big line. And if they do just go head to head, Connor, Leon, and Hyman against those three big horses and just let those six mash out. God, I love to see those guys just go at it. Those three, Taze and McCarr and Ekholm and Bouchard. I would love to see those guys go at it for seven games.
Aaron St. Pierre says it's a shutdown line against the second or third line, depending. So good point there from Aaron. Maybe not the guys you task with the big line, but still maybe if a team's got is two lines deep up front, maybe that's, and then you try and free up your second line for a bit of a mismatch there. All right, that was Strutty's World, brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. Very quick break and a message from Belvedere Golf and Country Club, and then we'll get to the stream. Tons of action. Lots of people joining us live here, both on Twitter and on YouTube, which we love, and we'll get to some of your comments and questions coming up after the break. For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com. Hey, let's give away a hat. Haven't given away a hat in a few podcasts and want to get some more out there. So let's do our Kin Print giveaway brought to you by DeBoer's Golf Shop and Fitting Center. I was down at DeBoer's today, Struds. So TJ and Scott are helping me figure out, you know, what club should be in my bag. We had an epiphany today. I don't know. Do you have a 5-iron in your bag, Struds?
I do, yeah.
Getting rid of mine. No more 5-iron. After a bunch of time and discussion, going with the 7-wood, bud. Getting rid of the 5-iron. They encouraged me. They said this is the right call. That's the kind of serve. I was in the sim. We're going through all the clubs, working our way through it. That was the epiphany we had today, man. You miss hit a 5-iron, there is no give. A 7?
Nope. No, I agree. And listen, when I see the lack of distance you have off the tee, I'd be suggesting the same thing. Like, maybe they should look for a driver that gets you over 210. Honestly, like, my 5-iron goes further than your driver. I got to go down. I'll call the guys at DeBoer.
Right. Yeah, very good. Yeah, thanks, buddy. You and I are actually going to get out there and compete a little bit this year, because the amount of golf talk we do on this podcast, we need to get a little healthy competition going. Did you come up with a trivia question?
I did Buffalo Sabres trivia. Tell us, email at gibpod.com, the name of the player who has a single season record for goals for the Sabres.
Okay, so the name of the player that has a single season record for goals
scored
in Buffalo Sabres history?
That's right, in history.
All right, so here's what you do. Go to gybpod.com, click GYB merch up in the top right corner, and you can enter the contest there. If you want to just send us an email, you can do that too, gybpod@gmail.com. So you can either do it through the website or there, and you can have one of our signature hats along with a $25 store credit. So you got to go, preferably your local, because you got to go pick it up in store at DeBoer's. So thanks for the trivia question there, Strutty. Okay, time now for Ask Us Anything. And that is going to be brought to you. I can't find it on my script.
Match.
There you go. Match Eatery and Public House. I'm a bit of a mess here. I got my pages all turned around upside down and backwards. Actually, was it Match the other day? Tried the spaghetti. They got spaghetti and meatballs on the menu at Match now, Strutz. I had it for lunch.
I had
meatballs for lunch the other day.
Love it. There's nothing better than that.
Yeah, that's it was quality too. I liked it. Your destination for all the sports action, right? Big screens, ice cold beer, all your pub favorites perfected. Match Eatery and Public House, located adjacent to Rogers Place in the Grand Villa Casino. Recommend the spaghetti. Visit matchpub.com for more information. Zuby, hop in, and let's get some questions from the folks on the stream.
Darren Sampson said, unlike Subway, there was some serious mustard on that Ekholm clap. thought I'd throw that out there. And then also Glenn Sharbs says, Sherwood Buick GMC reaching 400 will be like Connor hitting 1,000. It's going to happen. Count on it. So quickly there, four more points tonight, right, for Connor. So he's up to 962 with, I believe, 17 games left in this season. Do we want to re-handicap that possible? It's just barely over two points a game. It's like 2 point very low points per game to hit 1,000 this year. What do you guys think?
I think I said it would be hard, but I think I'd never doubt him again.
For sure. I don't want to put the barrier in front of him and say it's not going to happen, because he just makes people look silly when you do.
Shane Matheson said Kane, Perry, hammering the Sabres D all night, wore them down. Playoff hockey is here. How did you guys feel about the physicality from those guys and what they did to the Sabres D?
Yeah, no, I was into it. You know, I just, you know, we talked about Kane a little bit earlier, but I do think that he's, you know, you can't play that crazy physical all year long. You got to kind of build it up. And I think it's coming. Perry understands how he has to have success. I think we saw him online for a short amount of time. I'd like to see those two on a line. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I think that that's a heavy line, specifically with Henrique in the middle.
Yeah, Kane, Henrique, and Perry. I know what you're saying, but I still think Evander Kane needs to be in the top six. I think you've thinned out your top six by doing that.
That's fair. I can't really argue with that. You're right.
Oh, man, we might have to wrap this bad boy.
Yeah, it's getting ugly. It's getting really ugly. Okay, yeah. You know what? Maybe we'll have to do that. We were right at the end anyways, so we'll skip our gem of the night.
It's back to green. You want to try? We'll try one more?
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to Sherwood Buick GMC. We now wrap the podcast, so you can cut it there. Now let's keep going if we can. And if it gets ugly, we'll just shut it right down. But we've already said our goodbyes, so we're good, Zuby. Couple more questions and we'll wrap it.
Okay, Obelisk said, I think the Carrick upgrade has been sneaky good. I think at some point he's going to make a big difference in the playoffs. You guys get that feeling as well?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I really like those two additions. It's Slotty Flaws down the middle of the ice. They both kill penalties, physicality from Carrick. You know, we obviously seen him fight. He scored. I mean, for a fourth liner, he's involved in every game he plays in Chicago.
Yeah, I like it. He's imposing himself on games as much as he can. There were a few plays tonight that I didn't love. I thought the puck died on his stick a little bit too much for him to continue building that coach's trust, right? You want to get out there as much as you can and continue to make plays. There were a few tonight, but he did some really good things too, and I like his aggressiveness, man. He goes in there with the intention. When he hits, he wants to pound guys. Like, he goes in there hard. He's not mucking about when he goes in there. So, yeah, I like it so far. I think it'll resonate in the playoffs in a heavy series. I think with the right line mates, I think it can be pretty effective.
We just touched on this really quickly before we let Brownie go. Dr. Carpy said, Nurse was good. Sadly, no one will care. Bobo Fett said, Nurse had a big game in the hard areas, 8 hits and 4 block shots, wheeling all night. Some love for Darnell Nurse to make my friend Dr. Carpy happy.
Straight. Yeah. No, I think that this is something that people have been talking about. He's got to be mean, you know, and I hate comparing that, you know, Jason Smith, the way he used to be mean and physical and leaning on players. And again, just like I did with Kane, you can't bring it every single night. It just, your body just breaks down. So a Nurse trending in that direction, right? Getting more and more physical as we get closer to the end of the year.
Yeah, everybody's in charge of doing what they need to do to get their individual game into the shape it needs to be in for playoff time. Problem is, they also have the responsibility of trying to win games in the moment and bring what they need to bring to win on that night. I feel like it's kind of two things going at once, Struds. And for veteran players like Nurse, who gobble massive minutes, you're managing both of those things at the same time. And it can be sort of two different things happening, right?
It can be, yeah. And they know when they're up and running and playing well, right? You know, as a veteran, if you're in that space, you want to be.
Yeah, but definitely he was excellent for sure.
Okay, one other, this is completely nitpicking, but I wanted to hear your guys' opinion on it. Nick said, and there was some response from the chat in agreement with Nick. Nick says, does it bother anyone how lackadaisical guys are when they change? Draisaitl and even McDavid are the worst for it, just gliding to the bench. Does that bother you guys at all, or no big deal?
Depends on where it's at. You know, like it. I do like seeing hard changes, and that's a trait you want to bring into the playoffs, right? As a team, not
they Leon don't really Struds. It doesn't really change that much in the playoffs.
What's that?
The changes. It's not like suddenly they like bust their asses off the ice in the playoffs.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a trait you'd like to. You want to bring.
I know.
a more intense way of changing, and that's something that I'm sure the coaches will talk to them about.
You think? It's been going on for 7 years. You think it's going to change now?
No, but so this goes back to my thing is that the details matter, and Connor McDavid identifies every detail that needs to be different. And the thing is, you can change 100 times, and the first 99 doesn't matter. Then the 100th, it does matter. Because what happens is that the slower you, and just so people understand, when you change slow, your buddy on the bench is unable to get out there as quick as he wants, and now he's chasing the play. And sometimes when you change slow, it feels like you're chasing the play the whole shift. You got to come up with some speed and get back out there with speed. I don't say it bothers me, but it's an area that they need to adjust because you don't just turn it on game one in the playoffs.
They would be so annoyed with this conversation. Those guys would be so, you know, like they would be so agitated with it. I never once saw Gretz bust his ass to the bench. Just saying, says Mike Smith. I don't like the messaging. There's some times where it's like, all right, my work is done. And you straight leg it. You got the straight legged wobble going, the slow strides. And the guy's just sitting there ready to go. And it's like, my shift is done now. You'll get out there when you get out there. It's just, you know, put your head down, hustle on, have respect for the guy that's going on. Like, I have always not liked it, but I'm kind of old school grumpy and picky about those sorts of things.
And Quaddy says Torts would bench McDavid for that.
Yeah. but McDavid wouldn't know why he was getting benched. He'd just be sitting there benched.
Wade Manning said, question, when do you think the dollars will work to bring up Holloway and Broberg for the playoffs to give them game action? I mean, maybe we don't have to get into the dollars.
We need Hart Levine for that. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. There's a period of time where once they cross over that threshold, then they can bring guys in and all that. I don't have it right in front of me, and I don't know exactly. But yeah, both guys are playing lots in the American Hockey League right now, Struds. I'm fine with that. You?
Yeah, if Broberg's got to play before the end of the season. It's just, to me, it's not even a question. They need to get him in there, and you hope you don't need him. You hope everyone stays healthy, but he needs to get some NHL action before game whatever, 5 or 6.
Yeah, you bet. Zuby, that was it, or do you have any last ones?
Yeah, there was one quick one about Skinner, too, and I only got to watch half the game and listened to a lot of it, too, and Obelisk said Skinner seemed to be off a bit in the first, maybe playing a bit deep, but the Oilers were, he used a different word, not so good in their own end as well. I was listening to the Sabres broadcast, and they were even in the third, they were like, they got to get some more shots on this Skinner because he doesn't look very good. But I only got to see parts of the game.
What I noticed early there was that the Sabres felt like, oh, we might be able to expose this guy, right? Because Skinner there were a couple early and not great, and the one got called back, but they were shooting the puck like they felt like this guy might be off tonight.
They've got some good shooters. Yeah. Thompson, Pekura, like they've got some good shooters. Third goal, that is just a fluke goal. CC slowed the stick down, and it threw off the timing of Skinner for a save. So just throw that one in the dump because it's not on. I don't have that on Skinner at all.
All right, good job, guys. We won't do a gem of the night because we're long here and we're having technical difficulties. So everybody, thank you so much for joining us. Much appreciated. Going to be a ton of fun against the Maple Leafs on Saturday, and we will drop a post-game podcast after that one. See everybody.